This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're on the show here, your Power Hour. We're going to talk to Joe Dallara in just a second. Then we're going to play a little Fact or Fiction. Our producer Mario has keyed up a number of topics for us to go through and tell you guys whether they think they're fact or fiction. He's got some funky ones in here too. And then the final segment, we are going to give out our best bets for tonight and throughout the weekend because we have plenty of action going on in the NBA. We've got the NHL playoffs. We've got a ton going on. So plenty of bets coming your way across the next hour. But we're going to start now with some bets from Joe Dallara. He's the host of the Cash That podcast. Joe, thanks for joining us today here on You Better You Bet. NBA playoffs kicking off, well, play-in tournament or play-in games continue tonight. The official postseason begins on Saturday. Looking at these two games tonight, do you have any plays in either of these that have caught your attention?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. I definitely am looking at a couple player props. That's usually what I like to play. I definitely like Coby White to go over his threes prop today against the Miami Heat. I think actually a really good matchup for him. He's gone over this. He's actually made four or more in about six straight games against the Miami Heat. It's been a really good matchup for him, really strong opportunity there. And given the fact that Miami is down some perimeter defenders, especially like with Jimmy Butler, and the way that they kind of like to play defense with that zone, it's opened up a lot of opportunities for Coby. So I think he's going to play minimum 35 to 40 minutes tonight. And I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities to get some shots up. So I like him to go over the 2.5 threes. And I would play some 4+ even, or even a little bit of 5 as well.
Great. Moving on, talking about the teams tonight, I had a question. I'm a big believer in the importance of these number one seeds or higher seeds to, get through that first round quickly so they're not adding on games that could catch up with them as we get into the conference finals or the actual finals. Which team playing tonight do you think has the most potential to cause disruption against the prospective number one seed that they'll face?
It's definitely got to be the Pelicans. I think that the Pelicans have the highest ceiling, out of all of these teams. I think when we look at the East, realistically, it's very, very tough, given the fact that the Boston Celtics have just been so, so tremendous over the course of the entire season. Miami, especially with Jimmy Butler, this injury seems like something that's going to keep him out for some time. I think that they're drawing dead, and I think Chicago, just in terms of the shot profile that they allow, they'd really struggle against Boston over the course of a playoff series. But I think that the Pelicans, I understand that they're not going to have Zion for a bit, but it's a little bit of Ewing theory there, I think, where, the team, the way the construct is, they always seem to be like a little bit of like a funky construct with Zion, Ingram, McCollum, et cetera. But without Zion, I think it lets Brandon Ingram kind of be the man on offense for them. And even though maybe their ceiling like is a little bit lower without Zion, I think that it's a little bit more comfortable for a lot of the players involved. So I think that the Pelicans have it, and the Kings, I like them. The top end talent is obviously great with Fox and Sabonis, but I do question a little bit of their depth given some of the injuries that they just suffered kind of at the end of the season.
Joe, we've been talking a lot about the Sixers and Knicks series on the show today. Mark and I both are on the Knicks to win this series. What did you see from Joel Embiid in that play-in game in terms of Is it his health? Is it a little conditioning? Like, what are you seeing from him? And do you think it's going to be a big enough issue throughout this first round series where the Knicks can get the win here?
Yeah, so it's good to hear that you guys are both on the Knicks as well, because I like the Knicks too. I think the biggest issue with what happened with Joel Embiid is he just, like, doesn't look 100%, right? So, you know, he's come back from this injury. He's got to obviously ramp up some of the conditioning. But I think at this point, you know, these games are going to be intense. And when you're playing New York Knicks, they have some of the best centers in the NBA, at least defensively, right? And they just play in that. They play in the mud. You know, it's going to be like a tough, gritty defensive battle. And I think that Embiid might struggle a bit to, like, kind of bang around in the paint with those guys. So I do think that Miami always kind of mucks things up for teams, and he struggled historically against Bam. So I'm going to take that matchup like with a little bit of grain of salt. But at the same time, I think that this matchup against New York is just not really a great one for him either. It's like if he's at 80%, great. But does that mean that Brunson, you know, can be the best player in the series? And I think that there's a pretty good chance of yes. That he still could be. So unless Embiid is the best player in the series, I think that it becomes a little bit more difficult for Philly. And, you know, that knee's not going to – I don't think he's going to get better as he plays more games, more minutes, and in these high-intensity minutes. So, you know, if he kind of struggles or starts to get some swelling, there's always a little bit of opportunity there where, you know, he could maybe miss some time for the Knicks. And you never not want to wish an injury on somebody, but it's just – the realities of Embiid in the playoffs. He's just not really been super healthy.
Won't be the most entertaining series, but I do think the Cavs and Magic could be the most intriguing. I'm leaning towards Orlando in this matchup. How do you see this series playing out, Joe? Like, where do you think the betting value is between the Cavs team that failed to meet expectations last year and a young, inexperienced, but hungry Magic team?
Yeah, I kind of lean the Magic, too. I think that they just have so many defensive options they can throw at you. But I do – my biggest question for Orlando is just I don't know where they're going to find any offense. You know, Paolo can get a bucket, but you know, he's not even the most efficient or elite bucket getter. So I think that that's kind of what the issue is. One bet that I was looking at, though, that I thought was interesting was Donovan Mitchell to lead the series in assists. Nobody is really averaging a ton of assists between both of these teams. Mitchell is, you know, about a half an assist behind Garland over the course of the whole regular season. But I do think it's a pretty good opportunity there, given the fact you can get him at like 4-1 odds to lead the series in assists. And Orlando, Paolo averages over 5, but nobody else is even touching 4. So I think in what could be like a really grind it out type of series where, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he's going to have the ball in his hands as really the best offensive player between both of these teams. And I think that the assist leader is a good little sprinkle there at 4-1.
Joe, the Timberwolves were fun this year. Like an up and coming team, finally had a fantastic season, one of the best in franchise history, but they get a pretty rough draw with the Suns in the first round, just because matchup wise, not the best for them. Suns have beaten them all 3 times this season, including that final regular season game. The Wolves, they don't give up a ton of threes, but the Suns don't shoot a ton of threes. They live a little bit more in the mid-range. So do the Wolves have a chance of winning this series, of moving on, based on, you know, all the struggles that they've had against this version of the Suns? And now we're getting an extremely healthy version of the Suns. So how is this series, in your mind, playing out?
I think this was honestly like the worst possible matchup the Wolves could have gotten in the first round. So I do agree with you there. They obviously have a chance. Like they're still a good team. They're still, you know, an excellent offensive team or defensive team rather. I'm sorry, but I do have some concerns about the offense because they've had one player score over 20 points in a game against the Phoenix Suns this year, and it's not who you would think. It's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert had a 21 point performance against the Suns. That's it. That's all they've got. Ant is averaging about like 15 points. Cat is about 17 points. So I really do think it's going to be tough for them to find a lot of offense. If they are going to win this game, they're going to have to really lock it down defensively against Phoenix. So I could see them, you know, maybe getting to 6 games. I think it might be a little bit of a longer series. The regular season isn't always super indicative, but I definitely think that this is going to be a series that favors the Phoenix Suns.
Joe, Anthony Edwards against the Suns, I believe he's only won 2 games in his entire NBA career against Phoenix. Why does he struggle so much in this matchup?
So one of the things that I noticed, and one of the things, you know, Ant talked about it briefly, but basically the Suns, because Minnesota doesn't have an elite offense, right? The Suns are able to be not only a little bit more physical with him, but they're also able to throw a lot more doubles at him. And I think that from a coaching perspective, from a scheme perspective, the biggest thought process going through what the Suns are doing is they're saying, well, Ant is their best offensive player, and he's kind of like their only offensive player that can create for himself, because Cat's not a guy that's going to dribble the ball up and create looks for himself. So it does give, like, the Phoenix Suns, they're able to just say, hey, anybody but you. And that's what they're able to do from a defensive standpoint. And I think that's what's made it a little bit more difficult for Ant, because as good as he is, we do see, you know, he plays pretty physically. He plays pretty hard in the defense too. And I think it exerts a lot of energy, and he's still young. There's still a lot that he can learn in terms of facilitating, or, you know, kind of helping to distribute for others when he is being smothered defensively. And I think that's what really makes it difficult for Ant against the Suns so far throughout his career.
Joe, Dallas finally put some weapons around Luka. They take on the Clippers. And, you know, again, we're in the same situation where Leonard's health is really, you know, up in the air, and people not sure how to bet this one because of it. Do you like the Mavericks in this series? Do you think the Clippers are going to Clipper again?
You know what? It's tough, because it really does hinge a lot on Kawhi Leonard. I genuinely lean the Mavericks here. I think that the Clippers do have a lot of questions. Even if Kawhi comes back, I think it just might create a betting opportunity where you can bet on the Mavericks again, just because that knee, like, we don't really know what the status of it is. We don't know, you know, how long that's going to be bothering him, but it is an injury, and he's by far the most important player on the Clippers. So I think that when you kind of take that and you couple it with the fact that Dallas has been playing so well and Luka's history directly against the Clippers, I think that you're able to say, you know, if you're betting on the Clippers, or if you want to back the Clippers, you're kind of betting into a precarious thing where there's multiple moving parts. Whereas with Dallas, like, you know what they're going to have, you know what they're going to be able to put up, and the offense has just been tremendous. I guess the one thing in terms of Kawhi's health is, it does seem a little bit odd that, you know, given the uncertainty in his status, that he was named like the 12th guy on the U.S. men's Olympic roster. It's like, if it was a really significant injury and it was going to keep him out, it would seem like a little bit of odd timing to be naming him to that roster that's supposed to be playing, you know, over the course of the summer. So maybe that's something to kind of consider, but I do lean Dallas. I think this is going to be a series that goes minimum 6 games though.
I love your take on that Olympic roster move for Kawhi, because we discussed that earlier. I threw that question out to Mark because it does seem like interesting timing. If he's like really banged up, is he going to agree to play on the Olympic roster? So that's just some, I don't know, hope that people can hold out if they're Clippers fans, that maybe it's not quite as bad as it seems to be, which it always seems to be this way for Kawhi. Joe, another thing we've been debating on the show here today: can the Lakers get a win over the Nuggets? They were swept last year in the Western Conference Finals. They were swept this year in the regular season. Can LeBron get at least one, maybe two wins in this series versus the Nuggets?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally possible, obviously, right? Like, I think the Lakers have kind of started to gel. And one of the guys that came back, it sounds so stupid, but, like, when you think about the Lakers, right, they always have, like, they pick up role players that they can use in different scenarios. And Gabe Vincent's back. And it sounds, like, crazy. It's like, are we really going to say that they could win a game because of Gabe Vincent? But I think that given the fact that, you know, D'Angelo Russell became unplayable at the end of the series last year. In the two final games, he played 20 and 15 minutes because they were just crushing him in the pick and roll, and they wound up playing a lot of Schroeder. But I think that now, maybe this year, maybe you see a little bit more Gabe Vincent, who got hot against Denver at the start of the finals last year, actually, from three-point range. So I think that there's some, you know, maybe there's a little bit of flexibility there on the defensive side, and they've had like a whole year to stew and watch that film and get those reps in. And I know that, like, the regular season they got swept by the Nuggets again, but at the same time, I think that, you know, in the playoffs, you're bringing out the big guns. Like, you're trying different things, or maybe all the things that you learned in the regular season, that's when you start applying them in the postseason. So look, it's LeBron. Like, it's hard to bet against him, but I definitely think they could win one game here.
Joe, we've got about 30 seconds left. Who is meeting in the NBA finals this year?
I mean, you got to go with the Nuggets and the Celtics. Celtics have by far the best path in the NBA, and I still think that Denver is the best team in the league, especially in the West, and Jokic is by far the best player in the league at this point still.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus amongst a lot of the people that we talk about. And I know Mark and I echo that same sentiment as well with the Nuggets and Celtics. Joe, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Enjoy the games tonight and the start of the playoffs tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
You as well. That was Joe DeLera, host of the Cash That Podcast. You can find him on Twitter as well. At Joe DeLera. Good stuff.
Great stuff from Joe. Yeah, really good stuff. And it's funny to me. I'm not arguing. I like the Nuggets as well. I think it's solid for them to come out of the West. But 1 year ago, we're like, can the Nuggets really do it? And now it's like, of course the Nuggets are going to do it. Right? Like, well, yeah, all it took was... And now it's like almost automatic. Like,
yes. Now everyone just has them, you know, it's like UConn. Just, you know... Put them in the championship bracket and put the bracket away until that series comes up because they're cruising through it. All right, a little fact or fiction coming up next. Mario gives us a couple different scenarios, and Mark and I are going to tell you whether we like them or not. That's next here on You Better You Bet.